First, I'd like to share. Well, first, I'd like to thank all the ones that have offered hospitality. I think our family, anyway. Different ones have taken us different years. Bernie and Danny took us a couple of times, and then decided they had, I think, enough jewels on their crown. and the Stewarts have taken us a couple of times. I think the ones that, well, the King Cakes took us without kids. They were smart. They sent our kids to Mexico and kept us here while we were looking for jobs. But the ones that really, I think they, you know, they wanted to really make sure they had the biggest crown were Brent and Janice when they, you know, I don't know, I don't even know how many times they took us actually, but they, quite a few times. And they said that other people asked for us after that. I'm not sure about that. They kind of got tired of us probably, but it was nice of them anyway. No, it really is appreciated, the hospitality that is given to us and the way that they take care of us and, you know, just offer their best, and we really appreciate it. In Hebrews 12, verse 3, it says, "For consider him that endures such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind." And I don't know about y'all, but I do get wearied. I get, you know, sometimes I get discouraged if things don't look so good, or if the different ones have, we've had recently a couple left the church, a young couple. They're not married, but they're just over some little things that, you know, but it just, you get kind of discouraged because he was one of the first ones that got saved. He made some really hard decisions, but good decisions, and then they left over some little things. But we gave it to the Lord. They went and talked to him once, and then we just gave it over to the Lord. But you kind of got discouraged. You think, man, these are some of the first ones, you know, and it's happened with one of the other girls. But when you get weary and faint in your mind, then you go over to Isaiah 40:28. Amen. And it says here, you know, it said he was that, remember him who endured. But in Isaiah 40:28, it says, "Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding." And I just thought, you know, this is my God. And through him I have what he has, what he is and what he has. And it says he doesn't faint, he doesn't get weary. And if not with situations, I think, how can he not get weary with me? You know, why, when I fail so often and sometimes the same thing over and over, and how can he not get weary? It says he fainteth not, neither is he weary. And it's this morning, there's been several things shared in the morning meetings that have been good, but one thing that was shared was that about expecting too little, you know, and that if you aim low enough, you're going to hit your mark most likely. And at least in my, I don't know if I can say personal life, but you know, in people like that, and some of you have had the same problem with when you don't have a real good self-esteem, and you know, you want to aim, so you think, well, this time I'll go a little higher, but you really don't ever aim very high because you're afraid you won't hit it. But you know, if you do that in your personal life, why don't we aim a little higher in our spiritual life, like the brother was saying? You know, why don't we really aim high? We've got a God that doesn't get weary, that doesn't faint.
Right.
Why don't we expect more? And some of the things that I think of is, you know, when you think someone is too hard for the Lord to touch, our situations are just, you know, no way. It's just, I guess this one is just really a little bit out. You don't really want to say he can't do it, but by the way that my faith is, I know it's not, or the way I pray, or the way I quit praying. And like with this young couple, you know, just like you pray, then all of a sudden you realize you haven't been praying for them anymore, and they walk in one day. And, you know, they got up and asked for forgiveness, and it was just such a joy, but it really hits me. You know, my expectations weren't really high enough. I'd really just kind of given up. Well, I guess they're just going to keep going to that other place. But the Lord is faithful, even when we're not.
Amen.
And he doesn't faint. And I was, you know, along with that, I was thinking, he's blessed us. Lindo shared the other day that he's given us a lot to enjoy in this life. You know, things are given to us to enjoy. And some have more than others, but all these things are given to us, not just things, I guess, but I think in my situation, I think more family. You know, I don't have so many things, but family. I have wonderful family. I have wonderful friends, spiritual family, not only here, but Leon, San Luis, Iowa, and all that is good, and the Lord has given to us. But you know, I got to thinking, all that can be taken away. I mean, you know, the family can be taken away. We might see him again, but it can be taken away. All these things can be taken away. And yet when we think of blessings, and last Wednesday in San Luis, we were singing a song about blessings. Bendiciones, cuantas tienes. How many do you have? And it really hit me as I was singing it. You know, why don't we sing it? And yet, how many times do we really give thanks for all the things He's done for us? And, but yet at the same time, I'm thinking, you know, family and church and things. And it, I started thinking, what about the things that cannot be taken away, that can't be changed, that you can't see them, you can't touch them, you can't spend them, but they can't be taken away. They're eternal. It's something, you know, that you can grab onto, and you can't show them to anybody, but they're mine. And Ephesians 1:1, I'm not going to read the verses, but y'all can go there and you can, you know, I'm going to just kind of say what they are so I don't take too much time. It says in Ephesians chapter 1, it starts in verse 3, but it says we've been blessed with spiritual blessings. And it really hit me. He never promised us we'd have, you know, a lot of money. He really didn't even promise health. He didn't promise us healthy children. Anything we have is His grace. And I'm thankful for all that I have. I'm thankful for my children, my parents and my friends and my coworkers and the ones I have worked with. But He has promised a spiritual blessing. And the first ones are, He's chosen us to be holy and without blame. And that, it made me think of a verse in Colossians 1, 21 and 22. Because when I think of holy and without blame, I think, I can't stand myself before God like that. I mean, I see myself as I see myself, which is not clean and not holy. And it says, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And if I can see myself the way He sees me, which is only through His death that He did this, I am holy without blame. He's predestined us also into adoption. We didn't have any right to this. I mean, this was the Jews were chosen people. And as Mexicans say, we were plate of second, second choice. You know, that's fine with me. I was adopted. I was taken in because someone else didn't want Him. And He came to us. He's made us acceptable. And that has been a real blessing to me, acceptable, because I think of, you know, things are acceptable. I'm not acceptable in the flesh. I'm, you know, God cannot look upon me and without His blood and find me acceptable, because His blood is on me. I am acceptable. He's redeemed us. And that Psalm 49:8, it says, for the redemption of your soul is precious and it ceases forever. And, you know, we were talking about, you know, how last week in some of these, how you would die maybe for a friend. Maybe. You know what? He died. It says, yet we being sinners, we were nothing, and He died for us. And the redemption of our soul is precious. Amen. It was so precious that it cost His blood, His only begotten Son. And it says He's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. And I don't think of myself as wise, and yet we can have His wisdom. It says, ask of me wisdom, and you will have it. Amen. And He's given, all of it is right here. If I don't have it, it's not because He isn't willing to give it. I can have it. And then He's made known unto us the mystery of His will. And in Colossians again, 1:26-27, it says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
And, you know, it says mystery of the ages, but we've been made known this mystery because we are His saints. And we have obtained an inheritance. And only children can inherit. I mean, you know, when Brother Lindell dies and my folks die, we ain't going to get much. But, you know, what there is, I guess, you know, it'll be divided up. But we have obtained an inheritance. But it's an inheritance that doesn't fade away, that doesn't corrupt. That in Ephesians 3:6, it says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the gospel. And it really was a blessing to me to see that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs. And it says, in Christ by the gospel. The way that we got that inheritance is through the gospel. And the last thing was sealed with the Holy Spirit. And it, you know, it made me think so many things that are sealed. You know, this is supposed to be good because it has a seal of whatever and whatever. But you know, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And what is encouraging is that we're sealed until that day. I mean, we are kept. But all this, it says, it goes down to, it finishes, and in verse 12 it says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. All that was given to us so that we can say, okay, now look at me. It says to the praise of His glory.
Amen.
And And, you know, working in any place we've worked, we can't, anything that has been done, anybody that gets saved, anyone that gets their life turned around, we can't say, look what we've done. It's all because the Lord has done it. It's because each one of those, and most of you know, the church in San Luis is mainly young people. And, you know, we were looking last Sunday morning before we left is when this happened, and we got to looking around, and Mike made an observation that the young people that are there, all but the ones that belong to two families, which is Gris and Rafa and us, are there because they want to be there. The Lord worked in their heart, the Lord opened their eyes, they got saved, and they're there in spite of their parents, many of them. And it really hit me because I know at least when I was growing up as a missionary kid and everything, I hated going, especially when we came to States, I hated going to church. Mainly because I felt like I didn't fit in, but I think most of the time, I mean, you know, I think you talk to any missionary kid or even anybody that was made to go, until you reach a certain age where the Lord really worked in you, you went because your parents took you. And it was really a blessing to see that the people that were there, the young people that were there, are there in spite of their parents, in spite of many problems, they got saved, and they keep being faithful just by the Lord's grace. But it's encouraging to see that they're there because they want to be there. They want to grow in the Lord, and they want to serve the Lord. And that's one of the blessings that I count with that. And just to finish, in 1 Corinthians 1, 30 and 31, it says, and this is for all of us, and the Lord is really blessed. I mean, our church in San Luis hasn't grown much in numbers. It just seems like, you know, one comes and then one of them leaves. And so it just kind of has not really grown in numbers. And when Mike was talking, it encouraged me a little bit, you know. I thought, well, we've got a few more than they do, you know, there, so it's a little more encouraging. But then I have to remember that it's not really the number, it's you know, the faithfulness. And I'm thankful, Lord, those young people are faithful and they want to serve the Lord and they want to grow and they want to reach other people. And it says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I just praise the Lord that anything we have, anything we are, and all these blessings that he's given us, it's so that we glory in him, so that he gets all the glory. And we just pray, we ask for your prayers in the church that he will raise up some people. It looks, that's another thing, our expectations are kind of low. We kind of look at the ones that are there, and it's, you know, young people, and who are we going to, you know, how in the world is the Lord going to put one of those, you know, who are we going to leave in charge? And it looks like it's a long ways away. But again, I guess our expectations really are too low. And the Lord can do a lot. He is able, since he neither faints nor gets weary.
Amen.